Episode 32.
Carol Blaze. Blazejowski.
You got to say that right. Blazejowski.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So the story is, the backstory is this. In 1976 through 78.
Right.
Actually, her first year, 75.
Right.
My dad was a coach at Montclair State College.
Okay.
And I was there all the time. It was like a second home for me.
Okay.
So when the coaches, when he was on the coach practice or in the meetings, he just told me I could just run around. I ran around the gym, the locker room, the weight room, pool. It was like my second home.
Right.
I saw Carol play.
Okay.
And she was at that time a huge deal.
Okay.
The gym, when we would go to games, was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Girls basketball in the mid-70s, packed. This right after Title IX.
Okay.
So, you know, it wasn't, you know, common for a woman to have that type of stature at that level.
All right.
Montclair State College, to give you an example, is like Spring Hill College.
Okay.
Size.
Could you call this the soil of the WNBA?
Yeah.
Which is the grassroots?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. With Trish, we say she's that soil.
Okay.
You know, that right in there.
Right. Shout out to Trish. We interview her.
Carol is the same. The biggest difference between Trish and Carol is I never saw Trish play.
Okay.
I went by stats and articles and her memorabilia and what she told us. But I saw Carol play.
Right. Gotcha.
She was the first organized basketball player I saw play basketball.
Okay.
I didn't see men play basketball organized yet. I was 6 years old.
Gotcha.
Then I went to see Dr. J at the Madison Square Garden.
That's crazy that you saw Dr. J, bro.
In the 70s.
That's crazy.
And I was like, okay, he's my guy.
So maybe we can interview him next since you saw
him. We need to get Dr. J in there, too.
Crazy. Let's interview everybody you've seen in your lifetime. What?
But I told Carol, I said, there were two people that influenced me in basketball. Dr. J and Carol Blazejowski.
Okay. Man, that's fire.
She was big time.
Listen, I'm excited. Can we get our theme music?
Can we get the theme music, man?
I'm ready for this, dog. Yeah, episode number 32. Welcome to On and Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. You got your On the Field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation since 1976.
It's your boy, Mr. You Better Live. You know what? That's my also known as, and it's the a.k.a. Mr. Coach Weback. But you know who I am? I'm the Yoda Man since
1968. The infamous.
Coach, we got a good episode, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be fire.
I'm at Queens of the Court, part two. Remember our Queens of the Court series?
Wow.
This is the second one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, remember we said past, present, and future, right?
So, she's a past.
She's a past.
She's still past.
Wow. Yeah.
So, we interviewed Trish Roberts from Tennessee.
That's fire.
Forgotten Lady Vol.
Right.
And now we're interviewing Carol Blazejowski.
So, see, our present and future must be looking bright then.
Yes.
Because we got to get the other present and the future.
Yep.
So who we need to get Monica McNutt.
Monica McNutt, yes.
Yes,
hey.
Monica.
All right. An ultimate
class clown segment.
Let's laugh.
Look, before we move on, real quick, I saw where one of the little small podcasts had been saying something to one of the analysts, and the analysts heard it, and they shouted them out on the.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for.
I thought about that.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right, class clown segment.
All right.
I could not figure out why the basketball kept getting larger, larger, and larger. Then it hit me. Oh, my goodness. Come on. All right.
What do you call a monkey that wins back-to-back titles in basketball?
What do you call it?
A champion.
Okay, that's good. Why did the retired female basketball player open a brewery?
Why?
Because she had hops. That's good, because nobody pays attention to beer. Hops.
What do you call a girl hanging from the basketball rim?
What?
Annette.
Oh my goodness. Why is there no congressional basketball game?
Why?
Because Congress cannot pass anything. Okay, that's good. That's good.
What type of earrings does a basketball wear?
Which one?
Hoops.
Hoops. That's good. That's right. Why didn't the nose make the basketball team?
It didn't get picked.
It didn't get picked. Go ahead.
What do you call a polite driver in New Jersey?
Lost. Mary's
Nerd Nugget Fun Facts.
All right.
Okay. When the New York Liberty were first formed, Okay, they, you know, they won the WNBA championship this year.
Right.
When they were first formed, our next guest, Carol Blazdowski, mm-hmm. was asked to become the general manager and vice president. Then mm-hmm. she went on to be the senior vice president and president over a 13-year WNBA front office career.
Wow.
Yeah, she was actually the one who picked the logo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you know Carol won the inaugural Wade Trophy as the nation's finest collegiate woman player in 1978.
Okay.
And the Blaze set a Madison Square Garden record for either sex with 52 points in 1977 in a game against Queens College, still a collegiate record today.
Wow.
Yep.
Things that make you go, hmm.
In 1978, Carol led Montclair State to the NCAA Final Four, where they lost to UCLA, and the Blaze dropped 40 points.
Wow. Listen, without further ado, let's get on.
Let's get on the line.
Let's see, let's see, let's see, let's get. Call New York, New York.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Carol Blaze Blazdowski?
It is indeed.
Good morning. Right. Welcome to On and Off the Field, sports podcasting with a purpose. You got your On the Field coach, which you already know.
This is Lance Boston. How you doing, Carol?
Good morning, Lance.
Good morning.
Fine, thank you.
And I am your Off the Field coach. It's so good to, it's a pleasure to meet you. Voice to voice. I didn't meet you in person, but I heard so many good things about you. My name is Rick Hesley, and I'm the Off the Field coach on the On and Field, On and Off the Field sports podcasting with a purpose. How you doing?
I'm terrific today. A little cold in New Jersey, but all good.
My wife is from New Jersey. She is from Bridgeton, New Jersey.
Yeah, Bridgewater.
Bridgeton.
Oh. Bridgeton?
Bridgeton.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So I got to read your intro. I got to read your bio. So I love to read your bio. So if you would, can I introduce the world? Well, they already know who you are, but let me reintroduce you to the world if I could. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
She is a 9-time Hall of Famer, including the Naismith Hall of Fame, 1978 Collegiate Women's Basketball Player of the Year, a 3-time Collegiate All-American, and the 1980 Olympic team captain. Ladies and gentlemen, Carol Blaze.
Yeah.
Blazdowski. Woo. So if I missed anything, let me know.
There's a lot to miss. You know, yeah, I know.
If I missed something that you want to bring out, what did I miss? Let me know.
No, you're good.
No, everything is good. All good, all good.
Good.
So tell us, Carol, where did you grow up? Let's start there.
I grew up in Cranford, New Jersey, okay. About middle of the state, exit 136 on the Parkway, for those who know New Jersey.
Wow. I got to tell that to my wife. All right, so what's your favorite local sports team? Yeah, first let me say this. You got first the Giants or the Jets. We get you like to pick the Yankees or the Mets, the Knicks or the Nets, and the Devils, Rangers, or Islanders. We can go over this. So pick the Giants or the Jets. Which one you got?
Giants.
Okay.
All right. Yankees or Mets?
Yankees.
Okay. All right. Knicks or Nets?
Knicks.
I see what this is
now, but listen, the Nets are up and coming, so I'm very interested in them as well.
Okay, now we got the fourth, the Devils, the Rangers, or the Islanders?
Rangers.
Okay, Rangers. So is there a particular reason why you picked each one of those teams you want to tell us?
Well, they're winners. Right. And I'm a winner. I like to think of myself as a winner.
Yes.
When it comes to the Knicks and the Rangers, I had a long career at Madison Square Garden. So when I worked with the Liberty, we shared the same training center as them. So I got to know their infrastructure and players and everything. And that was a fun experience.
Okay. Now, I had a quick question for you, though. Blaze, yeah. How did you get the nickname? Where did that come from? What was the first person that called you, hey, Blaze? Where did that come from?
I'm trying to think. It had to be a sports writer from Jersey when I played at Montclair State. I mean, it's easy when you say my last name phonetically, Blazdowski.
Yes.
Blaze has multiple meanings. On fire.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Blaze was just an easy nickname. And, you know, people could pronounce it and people could spell it.
That makes sense.
So when did you start playing organized basketball?
It wasn't until my senior year in high school.
Ah, wow.
Why did you wait? Was it not offered or were you not interested?
No. Of course I was interested. I just, it wasn't an opportunity. Remember, I'm a little bit older than you fellas.
Yes.
So Title IX hadn't come into effect, and so there was no equal opportunity for women at that time.
Okay.
So I had to, you know, I had to play and pick up in the streets of Cranford and find games wherever I could against the men. So my senior year is finally when, you know, people started noticing that women could play, and there's the law started getting implemented, and so be it, you know.
So why'd you choose Montclair State?
Again, no scholarship for women at the time. Mm-hmm. It was close to home. It was a straight drive up the parkway. Teacher education. Back then, everybody wanted to be a teacher, so I thought I did. Mm-hmm. Of course, I never taught a day in my life. But, you know, that really was, I wanted my friends and family to see me play basketball, and we just figured out, we'd see what we could make of the team, and it just turned out to be really a storybook career.
Okay. What was being a referee and working with my dad like at Montclair State?
Your dad, I have such fond memories of McKinley. He what a wonderful, wonderful guy. Everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. And he always, you know, I remember I was playing basketball.
Right.
I was working three jobs to put myself through school. Your father hired me to ref the guys, you know, and he was so flexible with me and just a great guy that, you know, was very understanding of kids' situations and flexible. Mm-hmm. And very engaged with the student community of the college.
Okay. Awesome. Describe being a star female athlete during that time at Montclair State.
Well, I've never been about I know it sounds trite, but I've never been about I. I know that, you know, the whole is the sum of the parts. And I know that I couldn't, unless I had good support system around me. You're not winning in a team game. You're just not.
Right. That's right.
And so, you know, we just looked at it as the unit. We were Montclair State women's basketball. So that was from players to reserves, to starters, to coaching staff, to administrators, to trainers, to athletic department, to basketball community within the college. So that's kind of, we were just, you know, one brand is the way I would categorize it.
Gotcha.
So we do this segment, Kyle, coming out of the tunnel, right? And it's like this excitement. So when you broke the record, or you set the scoring record at Madison Square Garden, describe what that was like, that moment when you did that.
I didn't know I broke it.
Oh, really?
Everyone was standing up and clapping and cheering. It was near the end of the game, but the final buzzer hadn't rung. So as far as I was concerned, the game was not over.
Right.
And I was just curious as to what was going on. So finally they made the announcement, and I was like, I still really was just, okay, that's nice. But you know what? Let's finish the game. Wow. We got to win the game. Just focus on the game. And then afterwards, you know, you kind of take it all in, and it's like, what just happened?
Right. Wow. So initially you didn't know why they were cheering. They were cheering, but you didn't know, you had no clue why they were cheering, basically, right?
No. And I was almost annoyed because I that's right. I was almost annoyed because I wanted to get the game over and get the W in the book.
And they clapping for you. Imagine that.
What was it like to play in the Final Four?
Well, a lot of people don't know Montclair State was the first ever women's basketball team to play in a Final Four.
I didn't know.
You guys, State. I know.
Yeah.
Well. Wow. Okay.
I had to look it up as when I was trying to prepare for this show. I had to look that up. I was like, Montclair State lost to UCLA in the Final Four? I didn't know that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the reason a lot of people are not aware of that is because back then, again, in the day when there was an equity,
right,
in the sports world, the NCAA didn't want to have anything to do with women's sports. So the NCAA ran their men's tournament, and the women had a different organizing body called the AIAW, Association for Intercollegiate Women's Athletics.
Right.
And we ran our own Final Four, so our own tournament and our own Final Four. We had no television. We had none of the benefits that the NCAA gave to the men.
Wow.
But,
wow.
So literally, and Lance, you can appreciate this. You heard your father talking about the athletic department at Montclair and Donna Olson, who I believe he worked with at Minnesota.
Yes.
She took money out of her own pocket to help us pay for flights to go to UCLA.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. At that time, we were the only, there was no designation, Division 1, 2, or 3. Everybody was 1. But we were the only one division team in that tournament that didn't have scholarships. Maryland did, UCLA did, and Wayland Baptist did. But good old little Montclair, sister of the four, had nothing.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we went out there, and, you know, it goes unnoticed because we weren't tied it back to the NCAA.
Right.
But in fact, real basketball people know that Montclair State was in, I should say real basketball historians know that Montclair State was in the first ever Final Four.
Wow.
You got, I was telling Coach before we called you, and we were talking about your accomplishments and Trish also, some we interviewed also, and you guys are like the grassroots, the soil of the, what we now see as the WNBA. You guys are that grassroots, you know, that was overlooked, kind of unsung heroes in a sense, put in work when no one was, you know, giving credit to women, female, and that. And you know, you have to recognize that, that you guys did stuff that no, it went unrecognized until now. You know what I mean? Now you got to go back and say, man, what did this stem from? What was the grassroots of this? Who started this? When nobody else was looking, before the cameras was on you guys were putting in work. You were, my goodness, you were going against men, you just said earlier. You know?
Yeah, well, you know, look, in every sport, in life, in general, there's always a foundation, right? And then you build on the foundation. There's always pioneers that had less than those ahead of them. But that's how the ones ahead of them got to where they are, on the backs of the pioneers.
Right,
right.
So, you know, everyone asked me, are you bitter about 1980? Are you bitter you didn't get scholarship? Are you bitter? Are you bitter? No, I'm not bitter. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be grateful that I gave my, you know, my life and my basketball skills and talent to the game that others could benefit in later years. So there's no bitterness there. I had a great career. I have a great life. And, you know, I'm happy to watch where women's basketball has, and women's sports in general has gotten to today.
Yeah.
So you, so the work you guys put in, and I move on, you guys, when you see Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, these, they are the fruits of your labor in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
correct.
I love that. Yeah. So, all right, so life moment segment. So let's fast forward a little bit. Describe your feelings leading up to the 1980 Olympics and when you found out that the USA would boycott the games. How did that make you feel?
Well, backtrack a little bit. I got cut from the 1976 Olympic team, and I felt that I shouldn't have. So it motivated me for the next 4 years to work hard and give them no reason to cut me in 1980.
Okay.
And so, you know, you have, before you have the Olympic Games, you have runner-up tournaments and whatnot. And I was on the Team USA and training and whatnot. And we had, there were hints that this might happen. But we were still at training camp at Colorado Springs. We were still working out. We were still hopeful that there would be no boycott. And when it happened, it was devastating. And at the moment, though, we still had to prepare for the qualifying tournament because that was still being held in Bulgaria. So to us, that was our Olympics.
Okay.
We went to Bulgaria. We won the gold. We partied till the, you know, 3 hours of the morning. And then I think what happened is, after the dust settled and you knew you weren't going to Moscow, that's when the impact happened.
Right.
And so many of us athletes across all sports were so deflated, disappointed. I literally got sick from it in terms physically, just so upset.
Wow.
And, you know, it takes a long time to recover from that. But then, you know, life goes on and it's how you bounce back. So I was able to, you know, enjoy the air after a wonderful career, not as a player. Well, first, I certainly did as a player, but then as you move on, you kind of age out. And then I was a sports executive.
Right.
And I stayed connected to basketball. So it was a nice transition.
Right.
What was your USA team experience prior to 1980 Olympics? Did you, I mean, you tried out for the 76 team. Did you do anything between 76 and 1980?
Oh, yeah. We had international competition, Pan Am games, world championship games. Hmm. We had games in Taiwan, all prep games. And it mostly happened in the summertime because, remember, we're all going to school
right.
during the regular year.
Right.
And then in the summertime, that's when we all convened together at Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And trained and then kind of went out of the country and played various competitions.
Okay.
Do you still keep in touch with your teammates from the USA basketball team?
Yeah, some of them I do. Yeah, a lot of them, you know, I've gone off and done other things, and you kind of, it's like life, right? You maintain mm-hmm, right. certain circle of close friends. And I would say, absolutely.
Okay, good.
So describe your professional basketball experience in the WBL. What was that like?
Oh, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. you know, it was a short-lived league.
Uh-huh.
It carried across 2 years that I was prepping for the Olympics, so I couldn't play. Remember, back then, you could not accept any money to play in the prior to playing in Olympics, so you were deemed a professional.
Right.
So the irony there is everybody now is a professional athlete. Right.
Right. And I am.
But back then, I couldn't play in the WBL because I couldn't accept any money. So for 2 years, I was training till 80. Then after that, I played 1 year, if you want to call it that, in the WBL, because the league folded prior to the end of the year. I didn't get paid any of the money. Well, maybe a couple of bucks, but none of the money that my contract stipulated.
Wow.
And
wow.
You know,
hey, I say, you know what I say, Blaze? I say, you know what I say? Let's put in a petition so the NIL can go back pay 40 years. And you get
yeah,
we back
yeah,
pay 40 years, man. What kind of money would you get for that? Oh, my goodness. What kind of NIL back then? God.
Gave up a lot. But you know Jeez. What? Money, I know, but in today's world, everybody's driven by money. I was never driven by money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got lifelong friends, lifelong experiences, a little bit of money.
Right.
And, you know, it was what it was. But, you know, you look back and you say, great experience. Another right. great experience.
Right.
So who's the toughest player you played against on any level?
Well, you know, Annie Myers was pretty tough.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
She played for UCLA, of course. She was a great, great defender.
Yeah.
Trish Roberts, who you interviewed, was a damn good defender. Uh-huh. She was big and a good defender.
Oh.
And we have a common respect for one another, but she played at Tennessee and, mm-hmm. and plus also a teammate of mine on Team USA.
Okay.
So she was pretty good. And there were a lot of them. Okay. You know, I had a lot of respect for players, and those are probably two of the toughest.
Okay. I got a quick question. What's the strongest part of your game? What was the strongest part of your game?
Shooting. I was a scorer. Yeah, okay. I was a scorer. I was before the three ball.
Okay. Was it a catch and shoot? Was it a creating off the drip? What was it?
I could do it all.
Coming off the pick?
Let me tell you, Carol. Yeah. When you were at Montclair State, you know that gym off to the side. Like, you had your main
game. Yeah, we used to call it Gym 6. Yeah.
So I used to go in there and do your moves. When you were playing in the game, I would watch, and I'd go in the next door, and I'd go over there and practice. I'd be like, I'm Blaze Oski.
Well, that's flattering. How about that? That's funny.
So,
that really is funny, and that's fond memory. But, you know, listen, back then, we had such a cerebral team that, you know, I was the go-to player, and I had counter after counter after counter. You know, this didn't work. We went to the next thing. That didn't work. We went to the next thing. Yeah. Ultimately, I always got the ball in my hand, and I scored.
There was a lady on your team that actually I did speak to several times. And I remember her. Wanda was her first name.
Wanda Zermeta.
Yes.
Wanda Zermeta.
I remember her because, you know, like I said, I was a little kid, and, you know, sometimes, you know, the athletes would, you know, speak with me and talk with me. I remember her from that team.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was you, Wanda, and of course yourself. I remember those. You were the two figures that I remember off that basketball team.
Yeah, well, funny because Wanda it remains a very good friend of mine.
Okay,
she turned out to be a Division I referee, which we all laugh at because she was always screaming at the refs when she played. and then ended up being a D1 ref. But she both of us at the time had Dorothy Hamill haircuts. You two were too young again to know what that
I
means.
I know who Dorothy Hamill is. Thank you, man. Right.
Well, they would confuse us. They, you know, they didn't look at our numbers. They would just see our haircuts, and they'd confuse us. So she'd a lot of times get asked for my autograph, and she would sign her name when people thought it was me.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So, all right. Anyway, that's
one. Here's another one. Who was the best female basketball player you ever saw play from your time, even in past or present? Who's the one that just like, wow, she's the GOAT?
So present too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Taurasi is really special.
Yeah.
There was also a player in the early days of the W called Deanna Nolan, Tweety Nolan.
Yeah.
She was out of Detroit. Mm-hmm. She was special. There was a player also that nobody knows about that I played in the streets of New York City with, Janice Thomas. She didn't go to school. She got kicked out twice.
Wow.
But she played down the streets of Harlem and Rucker Tournament and Lost Battalion and all those.
Ooh. Oh, she was balling.
She was like the point guard.
Goodness.
First one I, yeah.
You so, saying Rucker?
Yeah, oh yeah. So she really was terrific, but nobody knows about it. But, goodness. You know, and then another player, Tara Heise, a very dear friend of mine who just passed. But she was, you know, when you think about fancy schmancy and looking, you know, no look passes and precision passes and shots and getting to the rack, you know. So those are just a few.
Okay.
All right. So here's the WNBA segment about the W. What was it like to be the GM and the VP of the New York Liberty in the inaugural season?
It was a dream come true.
Wow.
You know, when I got asked to do the job, I worked at the NBA at the time, so I was helping Val Ackerman put the league together.
Okay.
And then once we got to Charter 8 teams, New York needed a GM. And I had known Ernie Grunfeld, who then was GM of the Knicks.
The Knicks, right.
Right. And so he called me up and asked me how I'd like to be a GM and of the New York Liberty. And I was like, when do I start? and remember, I have never, ever had any experience of being a GM of anything, run a business. I mean, I knew a lot because I worked at the NBA for 6 years, so I knew a lot about business and women's basketball because of USA Basketball and whatnot. But that was ultimately, you know, a dream job for me.
I read that your office, your first office, was a little small for your taste.
Yeah, off the freight elevator.
My goodness.
Yeah. They say, hey, lady, which way to the this way? You know, which way to the next call? Which way to this?
Okay.
But you know what? It was, I had a pencil, I had a desk, I had a chair, and I got to paint my whole picture, right? I got from start to scratch.
Good.
I got to do everything.
Cool.
But you know, I had fantastic help from the Knicks organization and the Knicks infrastructure in Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
So it was really labor of love.
Right. All right. Tallulah, what did you think about the popularity of the WNBA this year and the Liberty winning their first championship?
Fantastic. It was fantastic. I watched a lot of the games. Caitlin Clark is, as they say, a generational player.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you got an equal or two of someone who came in the league that made it really special and changed the way the game's played, you'd liken her to Steph Curry.
Right.
And the fact that the Liberty won, I'm happy for New York. I'm happy for the team.
Were you
I'm
at
proud
the game?
To say that,
did you go to the
game?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I watched it. Watched it on TV. I'm proud to say I was a part of it.
Right.
I mean, it was in Brooklyn, so it wasn't quite the same thing as winning in the Garden.
Right. Right.
And that's a whole different experience.
It is.
But, you know, I was very happy for it.
Okay. So this is our Health is Wealth segment. And so the question is, what do you do now to keep fit at your age?
Okay. So I do a lot because fitness is definitely a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
I play golf. I play pickleball.
Okay.
I have a gym in my house that I work out, you know, 5 times a week. And then I, believe it or not, at my age, still play full court basketball 1 day a week on Sundays.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your knees have held up that long?
Yeah, it's everything else that's broke.
So, Kara, this is the travel through your eyes segment. So let me say this before I ask you yours. So for me, I was in the military, and there was a moment in time where I was overseas in Spain. I was in Palma, Spain, and I caught myself catching the moment. I was 19 years old in the middle of Spain, and I was like, you know what? This is incredible. I never thought I'd be in Spain. I'm 19. You know, that was incredible for me. So tell us someplace unique that basketball has taken you where you caught yourself in the moment where it was just like, wow, breathtaking, like, wow, I never thought I'd be here. Tell us about that.
It had to be back in 1979. I was playing for Team USA, and we were playing in the World Championships. It was my first ever World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And we were traveling to South Korea.
Okay.
Ooh.
And I'd never been to Asia, so that was a long flight, first to Hawaii, then to Japan,
mm-hmm.
and then over to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened up a new stadium that held 25,000 people.
Mm.
And I remember playing against Korea, the South Koreans, in that tournament with 25,000 South Korean fans rooting against us.
Wow.
Was that the most you've ever played against in the crowd?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So we did have some of the U.S. Embassy and the military guys. We have a strong military presence there, so we had a lot of the military guys there as well. But,
okay.
you know, supporting us, but it was a handful, and they were buried in the crowd. and I remember just looking around saying, wow,
right.
I'm in South Korea. I'm proud as hell with USA basketball, USAB on my back. I don't care, you know, we're the USA. We're beating this team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was like a moment for me that I just swelled with pride, like, wow.
Mm. That's what money can't buy. So those are the moments, like you were saying earlier, that money just can't buy that moment.
That's right.
And so that's what we cherish. And so that was a good one. I like that.
So two thumbs up. What movie or show have you watched way too many times?
Oh, this is a tough one. Wow. Elf.
Elf.
Elf. That's cool.
The holidays.
Right, but I like that, though.
I like Elf.
Will Ferrell is hilarious.
He is hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. The campaign is good for me. I like The Campaign. Have you seen The Campaign with Will Ferrell in it?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Please watch it.
Okay. I will. That's one I have to think about. I really have to think about.
Okay. All right. So this is.
But for now, let's stay with the Elf.
Elf.
This is the helpful hints segment. What would you tell a young female basketball player who wants to play in college and or the W? What would you tell them?
I'd tell them to outwork everybody, to have a vision, and to make sure they practice. And that's not just, you know, once every other day or mm-hmm. And I'd say if you have a dream to do that, then it's nothing but hard work, vision, and an aspiration to get there, because you can do it. You can do it.
Yes. How many shots did you average per day when you practice? You working out?
Oh,
many
God.
Shots? Just give us
oh,
a ballpark. Give me, come on. I know what Jordan
well
said.
Over,
I know
well
what Jordan
thousand.
Said.
Well over a
well
thousand.
Well over a thousand. Well over a thousand.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
jump
easy.
Shots.
Easy. 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 Because in between each practice session, I take 10 free throws. So I had a minimum. I had 100 free throws at minimum, right?
Uh-huh.
That was easy stuff. And then, you know, from each spot, you took at least 20. So, you know, it adds up really quick. And then you're out there for 2 hours.
At least 1,000 plus jump shots.
That's what
that's crazy.
Yeah. So, Carol,
you're driven. When you're driven, you're driven.
That's right. What I like.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Tell us what you're doing now. And are you still involved with basketball?
Oh, yeah. Basketball's, you know, been a part of my life since I was 10. You know, it's my lifestyle. And was my livelihood, and now I do it as a passion. So I have a little business called Blaze Basketball Enterprises, aka Blaze Hoop Crew.
Okay.
And
okay.
I work with young people, boys and girls, starting from kindergarten through eighth grade, and we do grassroots programs in the Northeast area. You know, I have deals with local neighborhoods, Little Falls, Nutley, Cranford, all those towns, Berkeley Heights, New Providence. I can go on and on. Okay, and we go in there, we run their grassroots program.
Okay.
Right.
All right, this is the final drive, Sports Jeopardy.
So we're going to speed it up and get to some fun questions.
Okay. Uh-oh, boy. Now you're putting pressure on me.
Right.
All right, who was awarded the WNBA MVP in both 2018 and 2023?
2008 wasn't Collier. I should know this. This is last year.
And she's close by.
Trying to give you some hits.
Played at UConn.
Shuey. Yep.
Breonna Stewart. Okay. Breonna Stewart.
Breonna Stewart.
We'll give you that.
Which college or university has the most players in the WNBA?
It's got to be UConn, no?
No.
Stanford.
Really? Well, I was going to say Tennessee next. Stanford. Wow.
Yes.
Who was the WNBA Coach of the Year for three consecutive years?
Guys, you guys are stumping me.
This would have been at the start of the WNBA,
yes.
To give you a hint.
Van Chancellor?
Yes, there you go. That's right. So we give you credit. All right. This is an easy one right here.
Yeah, this is very easy.
But I'm so interested in your answer. I'm going to gas this up before. I'm so interested in your answer, right? What would be the first thing you would do if you were elected president of these United States?
What is the first what?
The first thing you would do if you were elected president of these United States.
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. I have a lot of things I do. I can't give you one.
You can't give me one?
I'd hire a female vice president.
There you go.
I like that. All right. Which do you hate the most, driving on the parkway or the turnpike?
Parkway.
All right.
Okay. All right. Here's the question. Jordan versus LeBron. All right.
Who you got?
Oh, Jordan.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Listen, before we move on, can you please tell the listeners why you have Jordan?
He had killer instinct. Besides all the athleticism, he was a killer.
Thanks.
He hated to lose. He just had a killer instinct in him. So.
That's what I'm talking about.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. All right, this is fill in the blank. And so these are teams from the original WBL. Okay. Mm-hmm. Houston blank.
I don't know.
Angels.
Oh, I would have never got that. Okay. I only played 1 year.
Oh, so. I know. I thought these names were pretty cool. This is a corny one, though. I don't know how to hook it. This one.
I know.
The Iowa blank. They're called
Cornets.
Yes.
How did you get that? That's a weird name.
Corn.
Iowa Cornets.
The Milwaukee blank.
Does?
Yes.
Wow. You got that one.
The Minnesota blank.
Phillies.
Good.
Correct. And the last one, this doesn't even sound like a female basketball.
No, it doesn't.
The Nebraska blank.
Wranglers.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what's up.
That's good.
You didn't think you were going to get that, did you?
No.
You All did right. good.
Comics and cartoon segment. This is the easy. I got easy ones. What was your favorite cartoon growing up? That's easy.
Well, for me, it was Tom and Jerry.
Yes, okay. I love that. Yeah. I love Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I watched all of those.
I still watch Tom and Jerry.
All right, Carol. So you have to answer for yes.
Yeah.
Or forget about it for no.
Yes, in a New York accent.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
So this is the game. Okay. Never have I ever. So never have I ever gone on a cruise.
Twitch.
Okay.
Never have I ever gone bungee jumping.
Forget about it.
Never have I ever eavesdropped on a private conversation.
Forget about it.
Never have I ever cried during a movie.
Oh, swish.
Yes.
Never have I ever sent a text to the wrong person.
Swish.
You have? Did you regret it?
Oh, yeah, man. Pulling them back.
Huh. Yeah, once it's out there, it's out there.
It's out there, right? All right. What, here's a what if. What if you could pick four players in their prime to play with you in your prime to play against the current WNBA champion, the Liberty? What if you could pick four more players to play against those starting five?
Cynthia Cooper.
Okay. Mm.
Diana Taurasi, what is she? She's current, but she's 41.
Yes, so she's cool.
Talking about her prime, her prime.
Right.
Okay, Taurasi, Cooper, Tina Thompson.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right, wow.
Wow.
All right, cool. You think y'all get them?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you but you're supposed to say that. You picked Jordan as your favorite player.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so this is the last one. Would you rather? Would you rather have won the 1978 Final Four or the 1980 Olympics?
1980 Olympics.
Why?
Why is that?
It's bigger. It represents USA basketball. Mm. If we didn't win the Final Four, we probably came in. At least we got there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the Olympics is the paramount.
I got you. Okay.
Well, Carol Blazejowski, listen, anything you want to say to the people before we let you go?
No, I had fun. This was great. I appreciate your interest in my career, and I want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carol Blazejowski, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
For coming on and out the Field Sports Podcast, and we thank you so much for taking time out with us.
My pleasure.
I will send you an email to thank you once we finish the show.
Good.
All right. Take care now.
Take care.
Bye, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye, fellas. Bye now.
Carol Blazowski.
Man. Woo. That was good. That was good. That was good. All
that's
right.
Some good soil, man.
Yeah, that was some good soil. Grassroots, bro.
Yeah.
Grassroots. I'm telling you, grassroots. It kind of reminds me of like when we interviewed the Memphis interview.
Yeah, Marcus.
Yeah, everything that he, mm-hmm. the work that they put in, you know, in those other leagues. Yeah. You don't really hear about them, but that's grassroots. That's soil. That's foundation.
Exactly.
Like I said, everything they see now is the fruits of their labor, man.
When I was talking to my dad about about she's coming on the show,
mm-hmm.
and of course the popularity of the WNBA now, we both said that she reminds us of Caitlin Clark now.
Right.
Like if you were to take Caitlin Clark and put her in the 70s,
right.
That was Carol.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I never did. So was she, that's what I was going to ask too. The Blaze, did that come from where she had kind of speed too? Was she kind of like?
I think it just
a name.
I just think because of her name.
Right.
And it just was like catchy.
Right.
Because when I would go into state, when I would go into gym, you had banners and signs that said Blaze everywhere.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Catchy. Yeah.
It just was catchy.
Caitlin Clark kind of blazy the way she shoot.
Oh yeah. They had the same game.
So that's what I mean. I picture her.
Yeah.
Kind of like
very
plays,
similar
like,
game,
right?
Yeah, can shoot the ball, mm-hmm. you know, move past,
right? Yeah. That's what I mean.
They had a very, very similar style right. play.
Yeah. Just what I visualized. Mm-hmm. You paint your picture of somebody that you never
exactly,
met, and that's what I got of her.
Our picture, if I had, and of course, is you know not the same, but Caitlin Clark in the 70s. That's Carol.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense, man. Yeah. Man, hey, and
we can't leave. We can't have a We can't have a basketball show without.
Doing
an ode to Monica McNutt.
To McNutt. She takes the court with grace and might. McNutt's the name. Wow, that sounds loaded. Her every move a dazzling light. McNutt's the name. A force of nature, a work of art. McNutt's the name. Her words of sports strike like a dart.
McNutt's the name. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Matt, this was good.
This is real good.
We've been, you know, to those listeners, we've been, you know, trying to get this put together for a few months. And, you know, Queens of the Court series, we just want to talk about the people who laid the foundation
right
for basketball's popularity today.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah, that was
good. That was real good. Shout out to Carol Blazejowski again, man. Awesome, awesome interview. Yep. I'm talking about awesome.
And we gotta thank you to our listeners. You can follow us on our webpage, on and off the field with a DA.com, or you can listen to us wherever you find your podcasts.
Episode number 32, Carol Blazejowski.
Yeah.
And rest, we out.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation, since 1976.
And this is your boy Yoda Man since 1968. Listen, I was finna leave without telling y'all who we were. But y'all already know who we are, right?
I know who y'all, Coach.
All right, Coach, we out.
Get out of here, Dewey.
Get out of here, Dewey. We almost made it.
We almost made it.
We out, man.
Peace.
Peace.